Saluton from BA. This is a Rorschach multilateral update from the 15th of July 2025, a summary of what's going down in the world's major multilateral institutions. This week, we'll begin with news from Africa. On Thursday the 10th, a top official from the International Criminal Court told the UN Security Council there is solid reason to believe both war crimes and crimes against humanity are happening in Sudan, with sexual violence being used as a weapon. The conflict between the Army of Sudan and the Rapid Support Forces has left civilians trapped and aid workers in danger. Hospitals are bombed, food and water blocked, and a cholera outbreak is spreading. Despite major roadblocks, including lack of cooperation and funding, the court says it's pushing ahead to bring those responsible to justice. On Thursday the 10th, UNICEF shared a dire update on North Darfur. Due to the Sudan conflict in the first half of July, the number of children needing treatment for severe malnutrition has almost doubled compared to earlier in the year. That means tens of thousands more children are now in critical shape, reaching over 40,000 cases. Supplies are running out, and with aid workers struggling to get through, more kids risk slipping into life-threatening conditions. UNICEF teams are delivering emergency nutrition support, like ready-to-use therapeutic foods, and working hard with local and international groups to scale up treatment. To help out and donate to UNICEF, check out the link in the show notes. In defense news, on Monday the 14th, NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte left for Washington to meet with US President Trump. The meeting ended up being an impactful development. President Trump announced that the US will send advanced weapons to Ukraine through NATO allies, warning Russia that harsh tariffs could follow if no peace deal is made within 50 days. He also said that the support would include high-grade military gear. European countries will provide Patriot air defense systems to Ukraine, with US replacements to follow. Rutte confirmed the shipment includes missiles and ammo, and said the move should pressure Russia to negotiate. Ukraine's President Zelensky welcomed the support and stressed readiness for peace talks. Speaking of US tariffs, on Sunday the 13th, the EU said it would pause retaliatory tariffs against the US that were set to start on Monday. This follows the US president's warning of new 30% tariffs, citing long-standing trade imbalances and calling the EU's policies unfair. Ursula von der Leyen, the EU Commission president, said they'll hold off for now but are keeping backup plans ready. The EU has been continuously making efforts to find a deal that will satisfy Trump, while also making clear that they will stand firm in protecting their collective interests. In some health news, on Thursday the 10th, the United Nations Programme on HIV and AIDS reported real progress on tackling HIV since 2010, with big drops in infections and deaths, but warned that recent funding cuts could undo those gains fast. Without more support, millions could end up newly infected or dead by 2029. While some countries are pitching in more locally, many people still can't access treatment. A long-acting injectable medicine shows promise, but without a serious global push, the fight against HIV could start moving in the wrong direction again. On Friday the 11th, the World Health Organization announced some good news. Burundi has officially wiped out trachoma as a public health problem. This milestone follows years of effort using a strategy that combines surgery, antibiotics, hygiene education, and improved access to clean water. The government worked closely with health workers, communities, and partners to make it happen. While this is great news, it doesn't mean that the problem of trachoma is entirely gone. Instead, eliminating trachoma as a public health problem means three main things. First, only a very small number of adults still have the serious form of the disease. Second, this means that less than 5% of children show signs of infection, and that this low level has stayed the same for at least 2 years without needing large-scale antibiotic treatment. Third, the country has a system in place to find and treat any new serious cases, with clear plans and enough money to keep doing it. Next up, on Wednesday the 9th, the Inter-American Development Bank, or IDB, launched a $3 billion US dollar 10-year bond aimed at supporting sustainable development across Latin America and the Caribbean. Many investors were interested in the bond and bought it, which ended in 2035 and was priced competitively. Proceeds from the issuance will go toward projects that drive long-term growth and resilience in the region. This move is part of the IDB's broader effort to use global capital markets to support development goals. On to Ukraine, on Friday the 11th, the International Labour Organization said that the EU was pledging 3.5 million euros to support Ukraine in updating its labour laws. The funding will help bring Ukraine's labour practices closer to international standards, with a focus on building fairer, more resilient workplaces. As part of its broader recovery work, the International Labour Organization is using this support to back reforms that strengthen cooperation between workers, employers, and the government. The goal is to make sure decent work is a core part of Ukraine's path forward. The effort will go into effect soon, while the war is still going on, and if all goes according to plan, will last even after the war ends. In energy news, on Friday the 11th, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries released its 2025 World Oil Outlook, predicting that energy demand will grow through 2050, with global oil consumption climbing to over 120 million barrels per day, compared to the current 100 million barrels. The report emphasizes the importance of a diversified energy mix and solid investments to ensure future energy security and affordability. Also on Friday the 11th, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe held a crucial meeting on protecting children in conflict areas across the organization's region. The organization placed the emphasis on violations and the need for collective action to safeguard kids caught in war zones such as Ukraine. The organization highlighted tools to document violations and recommend follow-up steps. Experts urged not only immediate protection and psychosocial care, but also justice, rehabilitation, and trauma-informed policies as part of a holistic response. In some positive news, on Tuesday the 8th, New Zealand and the UN Development Programme renewed their partnership through 2027, with New Zealand committing multi-year funding to support sustainable development around the world. The agreement allows the UN Development Programme to respond quickly to development needs, especially in areas like climate resilience, poverty reduction, biodiversity, and inclusive governance. The funding is especially important for small island developing states making efforts on climate action and poverty globally. Back to Africa, on Friday the 11th, the Democratic Republic of Congo formally ratified the World Trade Organization's agreement on fisheries subsidies, joining other nations in a bid to curb harmful fishing support. This landmark treaty bans subsidies linked to illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing, overfishing of depleted stocks, and fishing in unregulated high seas. The agreement also includes support measures to help developing and least developed countries build capacity and ensure they can implement the new rules. And for our last story for the week, on Saturday the 12th, China's foreign minister announced that talks with the Association of Southeast Asian Nations on an upgraded free trade agreement have finished, and the deal will be handed to the heads of state for review. This agreement focuses on expanding cooperation in digital trade, green industries, and better supply chain integration. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. If you are listening to us on Spotify, leave a comment on the episode. Comments are private and we won't publish them. Drop us your email if you want us to get back to you. See you next week.